So something that like was super easy to just connect with, because it was just like everyone had the same thing that was going on. Like everyone just wanted to like know more and like show their love for Jesus. So it was like super easy to just like be with everyone. And so this made things a lot easier, being like super vulnerable with everyone and being open with it, so that when we actually ended up working with the team later from Corvallis, that it was just like super easy because we've been with them all. Like it felt like we already knew them and we were there for like a day already and we're all just like best friends. So yeah, this was definitely like a huge part of the conference for me, and like something that opened my eyes to like our dynamic as a team and like growing as a team. And it makes things a lot easier as like a team in Calgary now to be able to bring that back here and be able to work on things here. So secondly, the day basically was like packed full of different sessions, like breakthrough sessions, which is like you got to pick a topic. There's 8 topics. You got to pick one and you got to go there and like learn about a specific thing twice that you wanted to do. And then like the other thing was there's like a sermon in between each one and worship sessions. So the one that like really spoke out to me was like the very first one, which was about skeletons in your closet and like hiding sin. So it was just like a really big revelation for me that like sometimes I wasn't giving things to God and I thought I was, but instead I was just putting them like on the shelf for later. And like I realized that I need to take these off the shelf and like, here you go, so you can actually do something with them, because like I can't hide it anyways. Like he knows it's there, but like he's not gonna be able to do anything unless I give it to him. So yeah, that was like a huge part for me. So the breakthrough sessions were like really, really good, because it allowed a lot of people to like take the issues that they had coming in and be able to like get direct information and knowledge and like revelation about it. Which like for me, so I went to Brian Miller. So he did like an apologetic session. She was here actually like a few days ago. And like I hope people got to see that, because it was awesome. But like things like that, we got to be like not only like grow in knowledge about our own like beliefs about it, but then like be able to be equipped so that you can like not only like defend your faith, but like be able to explain to people kind of like some scientific reasoning behind it. And later being all, yeah, okay. And then so our last night, we had a prophetic night, which was awesome. So okay, third thing, our team. So this conference allowed everyone on our team to grow so much in each other super quickly. And like coming into it, like there was a few of us that were close, and then like it seemed like really like kind of not clicky, but a little bit at first. And then we all got there, and like within like the end of, like by the end of the day, everyone was just like best friends with each other, and it was just like super awesome. And I like our dynamic was like found super quickly, which I think we brought over from Calgary, which is like very family oriented over here. And, like everyone was saying that down too. Like you guys just like feel like such a family, which is super cool because everyone brings their own kind of part to it, which, yeah, so a lot of our team actually got, like, quite a bit of healing and words of affirmation towards, like, an area, a specific area in their life. So for me, and I know, like, our whole team, there was, like, a ministry call at the end, and, like, our whole team stood up and went to the front, which was, like, really awesome. And, yeah, okay, so relationship-wise, I met this one guy down there, Quinn. They're all laughing, so we got a little bromance going on, but we like text every day, whatever. He's engaged, it's okay. Yeah, so I'm just gonna share a text that he sent to our team that I'm gonna relay. So here's some bullet points of what he said he learned. So number one, the way that they, our team, exhibited Jesus through their passion for others they met, love for one another, and genuine care for other Christians showed me how God is bigger than any cultural barrier or any barriers in general we may face. Second point, the way that they were authentically themselves and used that to point back to God showed me how willing he is to use every part of our personality, thoughts, and past to reach people I may not have thought I would talk to. And number three, really showed me how to be funny. These people were freaking amazing. Every one of them had their own quirks and funny moments and just had some serious joy. Y'all are blessed to have these young adults represent y'all. Yeah, so there's that. So thanks very much. We'll pass it back on.
That's awesome. Up next, I'm going to invite Sean Tay to read a testimony from Tash, who was unable to be here with us this morning. She posted on Instagram about her baptism, so we wanted to share this with you because it's pretty profound.
Okay, I'm just going to read it. 2 weeks ago today, I got baptized. This is something I have done before, but when I did it for all the wrong reasons. I originally got baptized because my friends were, because I thought it was required to be a Christian, because I thought it was going to be a magic switch that would make me be a person I thought I was supposed to be. I thought it would stop me from doing the things I was doing, but it didn't. Before I left for my missions trip, I knew God was telling me that he wanted me to get baptized again. He wanted me to take the next step, and I knew that it was something I had to do. This was a decision that I made with God for the right reasons. My relationship with him is so strong, and frankly has never been stronger, and we have worked through so many hurdles together. Until this year, there was not one time in my life I have completely surrendered myself to him. I thought that I had, but I realized that my relationship with Jesus was not what it should be. I was a Sunday Christian in some ways, but not really sure how to go further. This year has been a year of focus, a year of challenge, a year of relationship, and a year of growth. We may only be 2 months in, but I have learned and experienced, but what I have learned and experienced has been life-changing. I now know what I was missing, and I'm digging deeper every day. Thank you so much to Greg and Angela for baptizing me, and for Grace City, the church in Corvallis, for having me baptized at your church. So, that was a really cool part for all of us to be a part of, because Natasha was just so open with her heart, and I only got to show a couple clips of her after her baptism in that movie, but she was just radiating joy and full of freedom and full of life, and it was just really cool to be a part of something so monumental in someone's life and to remember and realize that these things are a big deal. It's a big deal when we fully give our heart to God and we know that we're not going back, and then we say that to the world. It's huge. So that was, I think, pretty big for our whole team. But, yeah.
Thanks, Shante. Golf clap, that's nice. Yeah, a little golf clap, that's very nice. All right, up next is Marcus. Marcus, would you join us? Marcus is going to share a bit about the evangelism part of the trip.
Hey, y'all. How's it going? First of all, I just want to say I apologize. I brought the wrong hat. I had two choices on my dresser, and I chose poorly. I'm sorry about that. So let's start with the trip. So basically, Greg and Angela had told me about the trip back in, I think it was October or something, and then I was pretty stoked on it, but at the same time, I was always a little bit nervous. I was like, man, what if people judge me? What if I go up to them and it's like, hey, you want to hear about Jesus? And they're like, screw you, just shove up. I don't want to hear about that. I'm a college student. I've got midterms coming up. I've got busyness. I've got a party. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like, that's right. And it was always in the back of my mind. Like, I always had that feeling that, you know what, maybe I won't have the answers. Maybe I won't be able to talk to people and be like, hey, learn about this thing that has affected me so much, this love, this relationship of God. And then I was always kind of nervous about that. And then throughout the trip, or like leading up to the trip, we'd always kind of ask for prayers and ask for sponsors and people to support us. And it was amazing. I'm like, you know what? Like, God's helping us out here. Maybe, like, let's just keep on going. Let's keep on going with the trip and see what happens. So we got out to the trip, and we got out to the conference, and things started to change. We, like, the breakout session that Carson was talking about, that first science and faith one, I've always been a bit of a science guy. Like, I go to, like, school here. I'm in science. I love it. And I've always had to have all the answers. If I'm explaining something to somebody, man, I've got to know everything. And if they try and ask me questions that I don't know, it's like, okay, Google it right now. I can't go away from a situation not having the upper hand in that knowledge base. So it was kind of tricky for me. But then he told us that there's building blocks of life. There's things that we have that are like foundational kind of just molecules, but we have no idea how those foundational molecules even came to be. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then he mentioned that there's no way this is physically possible without a God out there, and then, or something, some driving force. And that was kind of the main point behind his talk, was like, okay, there's this like invisible hand, if you will, or God, some might say, that is pushing these molecules together, that's making these foundations of life happen. And then I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. Now, like, so this is something that I can use, because honestly, like, God doesn't want us to have all the answers. we can't go out there and know everything about everything. And especially when we're talking about him, we won't know. And if people ask us hard questions, then we can be honest with them and say we don't know, but like just have a conversation. And that was what I took forward from that into the kind of evangelism sector of the trip. So we went to Oregon State University, home of the Beavers, go Beavs. And we also, starting as the tight end, Quinn Smith. Quinn was the guy that Carson talks to every day. I'm a little bit jealous. He's a great guy. So basically we went out there and then we just went on campus and then we started not really evangelizing, but actually having conversations with people. So we'd go up to them and say, hey, we would like to talk to you about this questionnaire from this like club on campus. And then we'd get them interested like that. And then we'd be like, do you believe in God or higher power? We'd just start off really broad. And then if they were interested, then we'd dive right in. And so basically we started conversations with them. And then the conversations we had were actually pretty incredible. There are some people, I wasn't really part of this, but I definitely heard about it from Quinn and Carson, of course. They basically said, I went out to this Muslim guy. And the Muslim guy said, I'm a Muslim, but I don't really know exactly what I believe in. And then he was talking to them for about an hour and asking so many questions. And he ended up going to church, I believe. He went out to Grace City Church, which is really amazing. And so he went to the church, and it was like, man, that's pretty cool. Like, we don't have the answers, but people have questions. And even if we can't answer their questions, they can go to like places that do have those answers, and they can find it with themselves. Because a lot of the answer to the questions we have aren't in a book. They aren't in some kind of textbook or something like that. They're in here, and God has them with him, and he's in all of us. And with God, we can pretty much do anything, and everything can be answered if we have him with us at all times. And I believe that was probably the biggest monumental change that I observed in both myself and the group that we came to Gorvalis with from Calgary, is that everybody came in with a certain level of faith. Everybody came in there with a certain level of purpose. But I believe that we left with a fire that not only emulated ourselves, but also kind of had this godlike power about it, that it's like we can't do it ourselves, but we can sure use God with it. And we know that when he's with us, this like fire is going to have an unlimited amount of fuel for it to grow. And we're just going to spread that around Canada. And yeah, that's what I wanted to share.
All right. Christian, would you come up? That was awesome. Thanks, Marcus. Up next is Christian, also sharing about the evangelism or sharing your faith portion of the trip.
Hi. So before the trip, my initial prayer was, I felt God was saying that he was going to send us to Corvallis, and that we would get a fire there in our hearts and we'd come back to spread it. And actually, Sarah, if you guys know Sarah, she told me that they were praying earlier before the service, and she said she actually saw, which is crazy, she said she saw a fire in our hearts and said she saw the fire spreading to the rest of you guys, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah, so anyway, can I see a show of hands? Like, who's never heard of Corvallis before? Yeah, me too. So when they came up to me and they said, do you want to go to Corvallis? I was like, where's Corvallis? So why Corvallis? And later through praying, I realized God wanted me to go there, which is crazy because God works in crazy ways. And yeah, even like with my friends, like I'd be like, oh, you're going on a mission trip where? And I'd be like, oh, just Corvallis, Oregon. And I'd be like, that's not a mission trip. Like, you have to go to Africa, like Asia. Like, no, sorry, God can use us anywhere. So fast forward, what I wanted to talk about mainly was just the importance of asking questions and the power of asking questions. Because if we see in the gospel, Jesus actually asks 307 questions. And he's actually asked himself, he's asked 183 questions, and he only answers three of them. He answers the rest of the questions with questions. Thanks, Jesus. So during the trip, as we were approaching people, we would basically ask them questions and ask them questions and ask them questions. And we quickly learned people like to talk about themselves. So as we started learning about people, then they started to pick up like, oh, I'm getting asked a lot of questions. Maybe I should start asking questions back. And then we got to tell about our faith a little bit. So that's kind of how we got our in, rather than the old-fashioned method of like, hello, do you have a moment for Jesus Christ? And they'd be like, no, I don't have a moment. I'm going to class. So I just think it's just amazing how just God uses us in the power of asking questions, and how Jesus himself used just this ability to ask questions to just find an in and be able to impact people's lives in that way. And there was a couple times where I was just like, I got lost on campus. We usually had buddies and guides, and I got lost. And I was like, okay, God, I'm not lost, I'm with you. And so I was just lead me. So I got coffee because there was a coffee shop nearby. And then there was a random girl in front of me, and I don't know why, I just noticed her. And then I ran into her later because I was still lost. And then I was like, I'm going to do a God test on you. So I said, like, hi, do you have a second? Can I ask you some questions? And I proceeded, just as Marcus explained the God test, where you ask a series of questions. Do you believe in God, yes or no? She answered yes. I later found out that she used to be a Christian, was kind of used to be involved in the church and things like that. And as we got to the end of the test, I said, do you have any questions for me? And she said, what is this for? Are you part of a group or anything like that? And I let them know the kind of the group that we were with on campus and things like that. And she mentioned that she was a friend, an old friend of one of the leaders of the church. It was Molly Clark. You'll see a video of her soon. And she said, like, she had strayed away from the church for a while ago, but she was intentional. She's like, I want to come back. I want to start going back to church. I want to find Jesus again. I was like, okay, I'll take her number. And then I was like, thank you, Lord. I got lost, and we found her. And so I gave Molly her number, and then Molly's been texting me recently saying, like, oh, she's joined our group again. She's, like, on fire for Christ again, so come on. Like, thank you, Lord. And I think that's amazing, and I just think God works in crazy ways, so just get lost and let him use you. That's all I can say.
Get lost. I like it. Awesome. Zach, would you join me up here? We had, on the last night, we gathered together with the student leaders down there and our team, and we did a prophecy night. So Zach and Whitney are going to share a bit about that.
Thank you again. I'm Zach. Hey. So to give a little bit more information on the prophecy night, basically what it looked like, we just invited the Corvallis team to come to the hotel that we were staying at, the Holiday Inn, and then we just kind of went into the side foyer where the breakfast was, and then we just kind of made a giant circle into chairs, and then we'd put one person into the middle, and then we'd just ask God, what do you want to say to this person through us? And it was insane, actually. Just the main thing I took out of that night was just how individual we all are and how individually God looks at all of us. And just the prophecy that was poured over people was just so personal and so specific to each person's situation. So I felt like I needed to share something that was prophesied over me and just how it just spoke to me on such a deep personal level. A little bit of context. I went into this trip a week after ending just an unhealthy relationship, and just some stuff had happened with that breakup where I went into this trip with a lot of hurt and a lot of bitterness. And so I was just struggling through that throughout the trip and received a lot of healing throughout the worship and the conference. But going even at the end, there's still just holding on to that hurt. And I wanted to get rid of it, but I just wasn't sure how to. And so I got into the middle. People started prophesying over me, and Whitney, actually, who I wasn't aware that you were were working on prophecy, but it's just cool how that worked out. She just prayed, like, I see you have like a jar, and you just can't. You're not able to grow how you want to unless you break this jar. I was like, okay, that's like a cool analogy. Like, I need to grow and stuff. But then it ended, and then she came up to me and was like, actually, I feel like there's just some more details. I feel like I wasn't specific enough. And she started talking to me. And before I say what the details are, a little bit of context about the relationship. We had met at a summer camp we work at. And at that camp, there's just this kind of this inside joke where no purple is allowed, which is like boys are blue, girls are red. And it's basically just saying, like, people aren't supposed to flirt, but which the campers are, yeah. But the reason I bring that up is just about the relationship that I'd ended. How the girl had told me that she had feelings for me is she had sent me a note like, hey, Zach, purple. And that, like, it was just kind of a joke that we had had. So then going into this, when he came in, he was like, hey, about the jar, like, I just saw that you were holding this jar. And when you broke it, all this purple water just came and evaporated. And it left. And I didn't even catch up. I was just like, oh, purple, like, what does that mean? And Christian knew about my situation. He was like, no, like, purple. You got rid of the purple, and, like, you don't have to deal with that anymore. And then my brain just exploded. I was like, oh, my gosh, the purple's gone. Like, oh, that's so cool. So, I hadn't really talked to Whitney at all, even about the relationship. And, like, there's obviously no way you would have known that specific of a detail. And it really reminded me how insightful God is to our situation and how He speaks to you on such a personal level that no one else could know about, and that it was just really encouraging for me. So, yeah.
Thanks, Zach. Whitney, would you come up? Yeah, thanks. So last but not least, Whitney's going to share a bit about the prophecy night as well. Clap to fill the silence. Yeah, there you go. Okay, there you go.
I'm going to steal your chair.
Okay, you can steal my chair.
Because I want it.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Whitney. Nice to meet you all. So the prophecy night, that's what I'm supposed to talk about. Just going to open up my notes. Kind of what Zach said, we went into this room, like a little breakfast nook in our hotel, which is just telling you, you don't have to be in like a super spiritual place to be doing prophecy. But we went into the breakfast nook and there was like 20, 25, I don't know, lots of us. And these people that we'd met, like, a week ago. So, like, I didn't know your childhood secrets and how you were raised and your jobs and stuff. Like, yeah, I didn't really know any of that. But, so we got in this circle, a bunch of us that didn't really know each other. And little backstory going into the trip. I don't know if you guys saw the video before, but, like, that was my heart for this trip, was I wanted to be able to encourage people in the way that God wanted me to and kind of the best way that could reach people, like, actually speak to their heart, not just like, hey, good job, you can do it, like, you tell everyone, I don't know. So before the trip, like I said in the video 2 months ago, I was activated in the gift of prophecy, and I didn't really practice it, to be honest. We had like the one prophecy night, which was the night that I got activated, so yeah. And there was a couple times that I prayed for friends and stuff, but nothing really that was like crazy. And then the way I saw my prophecies at that time was just kind of like a couple words, pretty short, pretty simple. But going into this trip, it was like that night was way different, and I just saw like visions kind of, and they were way more clear, and I heard God's voice way more clear. But going into this group of like 20 people, I didn't really know. When you get something really specific for someone, it's kind of scary to like step out in faith and be like, hi, I know like about this thing that happened in your childhood, and I want to tell you that it's okay and that God was there for you. And like someone could just be like, oh yeah, that didn't happen to me. Then it'd be really awkward and you just kind of walk away. But that didn't happen, so that's pretty great. The biggest thing that I kind of took out of the trip and that night especially was that I feel like the more that I stepped out in faith and trusted him and kind of spoke out things that I wasn't super comfortable saying, he gave me like better, bigger, more important things to say to people. And so it's really cool to be able to be that vessel for people and just say like, hey, you weren't alone in this, and God saw you in this. And also just, like, being able to encourage people, like, I know that you're struggling in this part of your life, but, like, God's there for you, and I'm there for you. So, yeah. I don't know what else to say. Okay, cool. Cool.
Introduce yourself, too.
I'm Angela Frost, fellow American. And I loved listening to Carson tell Quinn's points, the bullet points. I was like, so American. Bullet point, get right to it. No relational. Hey, how are you? Just, hey, here's what you did. I'm like, I get it. My heart gets it. We have a video to share, if you want to cue it up, from the campus missionary down in Corvallis. But I think I just want to hint on something before we intro into Molly. This is actually my first time hearing these guys process a little bit longer than like 5 minutes here and there. And I think there's something so beautiful about processing in family. And watching them like do that with each other was incredible. But there's something even more significant when they do it in front of you to watch the six of them just grow in their faith and grow in their transparency and grow in their vulnerability, and to see them like all come up here confidently and be like, oh, I'm in family and I can process, is such a testimony to me, because I watched them before the trip and they were super nervous to even get up and share with you guys why they were going. And to now come on the other side and be like, oh, I'm in family and let me process this with you. I know that there's so much more treasure in their hearts that 5 minutes of sharing could not actually articulate. So I want to invite you over the next however long to actually get to know them and hear some of the treasure that's in their heart that they learned, because the treasure in their heart is because of this spiritual family here. And to connect that to Molly. So Molly is part of our bigger Every Nation family in Corvallis. She's a campus missionary and a really close friend of mine. And we asked her to send in a video to share, you know, what has it been like 2 weeks after the trip? What have you seen in your students? And how has this church, our church, you church, actually impacted the Corvallis church?
Hi, U Church Calgary. We wanted to take a second from Grace City Church here in Corvallis to thank you guys so much for the time that you spent down here ministering alongside of us after the student conference. The impact that you guys made coming down was amazing. The weeks following, particularly, we've had several of our students relay just even the relational impact that you guys made on our team here. One of the things that keeps coming up is even that verse in John where it talks about how people will know the love of Christ and know that we are the disciples of Jesus because of the love that we have for one another. And I think that looking back, probably the largest thing that you guys really imparted to us here was just the sense of affection and love that you have for one another as family in Christ. We are absolutely feeling the shockwaves of that still here. Thank you so much for taking time to love us, to spend time with us, to minister truth to us, and to really show us what it is to be family in Christ within a campus group. I think here in Corvallis, we're very good at accomplishing things and getting it done, but one of the areas that we've really been believing for is developing and building a familial relationship with one another. One of the students that I talked to this last week had said, before she was ready to leave Corvallis, like she'll be graduating this year, she was scared because the family she's found here in Corvallis has been really unique as she came to Christ in college. And getting to meet and spend time with you guys just really encouraged her that there are going to be pockets of Christ-centered family outside of Corvallis. She feels really excited about getting ready to graduate now, to be able to go out into the world and to seek relationship and community with other people that love Jesus. We were also really inspired by your faith. Thank you so much for going out and God testing with us in a super secular campus. Some of the students that you guys spoke with, one in particular actually ended up coming to one of my small groups and is committed to staying. So you guys who God tested her, you know who that is. But thank you so much for your faith and your obedience to go. We really feel loved here. Not a lot of people come and stick around Corvallis after the student conference, and I think I told you guys that. But we're so thankful, and we really feel empowered and blessed by you guys. So you are so welcome back. Please send more. We'll welcome you with open arms here and try to hold off some more of that rain for you guys. So anyway, again, U Church Calgary, thank you so much for sending, and we really love you guys. See you soon.
Surprise, I'm not a student. Who is so proud of these guys? Yeah, makes me want to cry. I'm really proud of you guys. I'm proud of you, Greg and Angela, too, and Shantae. This is the cool thing. You heard the theme of family spoken constantly, and you know, in that video, it sounds like one of the main leave behinds that you guys gave was this sense of family. And so, I just wanted to share with those of us who aren't students. I mean, I was a student when I first came to this church, and how many were, you know, 20 sometime in their life, you know? Yeah, you've been there. You've been at this stage of life, whether on campus or not, so you can relate. But I think that just knowing kind of what my journey was like when I was a student and then seeing this, it's so inspiring. It's really cool. But this culture of family, I think it's so funny. I'll just read the back of his shirt. Isn't that awesome? He's been like speaking to me this whole time. We are family. I was like, what do I say after this? Just, I saw you and I went, I know. Just to hear like that theme of family. And so what occurred to me though, and this is an encouragement to the rest of you, is that I know that many of you have specifically invested through the years in generations of students, like you guys, the Blileys, I see their students together on campus, and they have like students from every, like older now, not students anymore, we're students hanging out in their homes. And there's been people, many of you just investing along all along the way, and this multi-generational thing is something that is very, it's powerful and it's important. But what struck me in this idea of like these guys are really sharing this family kind of thing, it's like one generation can't create the sense of family, right? Like they didn't just come up with this themselves. I mean, God can do that, absolutely, and I think there's times when he does. But their sense of family and the security that you guys come from is a result of a church family that is committed to multi-generational things. Like we believe there's value in investing, like as an older person investing in the next generation and creating spaces for the younger generation to hang out. And you know, one of the things that I've loved as I hang out with students is that, first of all, they seem to really, when there's questions that they're asking, like some of the stuff I say actually sounds kind of wise. And they're like, whoa, that is so good. And then I'm like, yeah, that was good. In that, God has been doing stuff in me. And by hanging out with the generations, you actually begin to see yourself in them. And then you also go, wow, I've grown a lot. And I mean that in the way, like, there's certain things that life experience just teaches you, and that's how wisdom comes. It's one of the ways. I think God can give wisdom by his Spirit, and he also pours it on thick as you go through really crappy, difficult, intense circumstances, and to be able to give of what God has done in you to someone else who actually really needs it. It's not, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And I just was thinking about, you know, Easter is coming up, and in our family, we typically get together for all of these vacations in my, you know, with my parents, and then I have two brothers, and now they all have kids, and I was just thinking about the value of again this generational thing. Like if I had it my way, we'd leave our kids at home, and just you know, play games and do, like, it just wouldn't be very exciting. I'd probably sleep a lot, get a lot of rest, which is good. But the whole idea of family is to enjoy the generations, the intensity of, like, the kids doing their thing. Like, we talk about different things because we have different generations represented. If it was just my parents who are the grandparents, they spend lots of time, you know, by themselves without the kids there. And it is their joy to have it when the house gets filled up with people. And we have that opportunity here all the time, in the sense that, you know, those who kind of go, well, I've, you know, I'm a few years off the campus, you know, I've now I'm officially, stop it, heckler's back there. Yes, I have lived more of my, over half of my life after campus now, or whatever, do the math. Doesn't matter. There's some of you older than me, so it doesn't matter. Wow, I lost my point. Catherine, hi. Okay. Catherine was older than me when I first came to this church, so there you go. And she... Oh, man, what was my point? I had one. Yeah, no, it was before that. It just derailed. Anyways, the point is, maybe I'll just make up a new point. You have the opportunity to get to know and hang out and draw on the awesomeness of this generation of students. And then, like, you guys, everyone wants to get to know you and hang out and be inspired continuously and would love to share their awesome wisdom with you because we all have a lot of it. No? I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. But we're actually... this got derailed so terribly. Thank you. I'm going to look at my notes if I had any. I love you guys. Okay, so what we're going to do now is tic-tac time, as Greg mentioned. And what we're going to do is, everybody, come get to know a student, okay? Get to know someone new. Hang out.